For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Good morning, a lovely Wednesday morning. This is the Bad Signal Podcast. I am your host, as always, Courtney Fallon. Steve Armato is joining me midweek. It is bright and early. Both rocking the black, both rocking the I need to have a haircut ordeal. If you're watching this on a YouTube stream, yes, Steve needs a haircut. Can we discuss?
Big time. Well, big time. So I'm trying to grow it out, but I can't have the sides grow out because then I get like that George Washington look, like my hair on the sides just goes like straight sideways. So right now I'm wearing a hat, as you can see, like it's coming out the bottom, but I just got to get the sides trimmed and I'm going to just keep the top going because the flow on top is good.
The flow. Like, wow.
The hair.
How many times do you stroke your fingers through your hair?
Oh, at least 10 times an hour, like easily. So, you know, but I got to get that figured out. That's got to be done. My birthday is next week, so I got to get that cut for my trip, and that's it.
Birthday, Steve. What are we doing for your birthday?
We're going to Boston.
Oh, I forgot.
Yeah, the wife is treating me.
You're going to the worst city in the world. You're literally next week I'm going to be in Boston.
When?
Monday.
I'm leaving on Thursday.
Oh, you're leaving here on Thursday.
I'm leaving New Jersey on Thursday.
Oh yeah, right. I remember we already talked about this.
I don't check bags.
Bougie Steve. Well, right. Yeah. I like to trick some people. I have my hair tucked into a turtleneck because I don't know, it's been kind of cold here in South Florida. Well,
yeah, what's kind of like, cold? 55? Like, 50, are you kidding me?
It drops into the 40s, but then it gets into like 53. A little windy.
It's 19 degrees in New Jersey this morning. Like, are you kidding?
First of all, don't feel bad for me. I'm going up to Boston next week, and there's going to be a massive celebration when I get there. Touchdown in Boston this weekend because David Ortiz is a Hall of Famer.
Yes,
David Ortiz is a first ballot Hall of Famer. My hero. The year David Ortiz was released by the Twins, he was hitting 300 with almost 1,000 OPS. 16 home runs, batted fourth for the Twins. They won the division, comes to Boston, and makes an even bigger impact. We know the rest of the story. 3 World Series rings. I mean, you could go back to the 2004 ALCS. You could get the game tying game two, 2013 World Series game tying Grand Slam. I mean, I could go down the list. And I know Steve has a lot of thoughts on this Hall of Fame ballot voting. Yeah, I actually, if you follow Steve on Twitter, he was going off last night. So good morning to everyone except for Steve's anger, because that's the kind of energy that we need to bring to the show. Listen, I think it's wrong from someone like David Ortiz, who was an admitted steroid user. You know, there was a time, I think there was that report where 18 players were, they were tracked in 2003. David Ortiz tested positive. It kind of flew under the radar. Whether or not he was a repeated user or not. Guys like Barry Bonds and Roger Clemens, the bottom line is that those guys were not likable. David Ortiz was the lovable monster up there. Papi Osito, as I like to say, Big Bear. They were great before they needed to go to the Hall of Fame. That's Roger Clemens and Barry Bonds. But it really, if you're a Baseball Writers of Association, how do you explain yourself? There needs to be a complete overhaul of this sport. Not only the fact that we're still sitting in a fucking lockout and all of the baseball fans are sitting here like, when is there going to be news that players are going to be coming down for pitchers and catchers? And how can you do this to the sport? Rob Manfred needs to go. You had the former commissioner of the steroid era in the Hall of Fame and not these two legends. It is a shame.
It's a shame. It's a shame. It's a sham. It's a travesty. It's all the things. I'm so, first of all, I want the people who voted for AJ Pierzynski, like, you need to reveal yourselves and make that public, because you're a fraud and you're a coward. Like, that's one. Two, all right, look, I don't have a problem with Ortiz getting in. I think Ortiz is a Hall of Famer. My problem is Ortiz getting in while these guys don't.
Yeah,
that's the problem. And first ballot, nonetheless, like, there's no questions asked. First ballot Hall of Famer. And look, I know we love Poppy and everything. He's also a DH, first ballot DH in the Hall of Fame. Didn't even play a position. So, like, now we're just doing all these things. I don't even know where it makes sense at this point. Cause now, like, if Ortiz gets in, you can't tell me that A-Rod Sheffield can't get in either.
Well, right? What's the problem with Gary Sheffield? Gary Sheffield was a legendary outfielder for the Yankees. And I mean, he was a part of those crucial, critical years with the Yankees, the last time they actually won World Series.
And he was part of the never tested positive group, right? The never tested positive group, whatever the hell that means.
Yeah.
And like whatever that means. He was part of that. But like,
you're stroking flames of never tested positive for COVID.
Yeah, like exactly. Like, it's ridiculous. And the thing is, too, we want to just, the writers seem to want to just be like, we're just going to forget about like a 15-year period of baseball. That didn't exist. So now you're basically the museum of nice guys that were good at baseball that were liked by other nice guys. That's what it is. Like, here's a museum with some of the best players of all time, and the greatest hitter we've ever seen on the face of planet Earth isn't even in there. And also, I'm sorry, I'm going off here. They're full of shit. I don't know if you've ever been to the Hall of Fame. Their records are in there. All these records are in the Hall of Fame. Like, they're there. They might not have a plaque with their face on it and their story on it, but all these records are all over the museum. So what is this? What are we doing?
Well, you're going to have people like Hub Arkush. I know that we're not comparing apples to oranges in the NFL, but it's exactly that. You're going to have some asshole like, you know, the AP writer in Chicago who says that he doesn't want to vote for Aaron Rodgers because Aaron Rodgers is, you know, is a scum and he doesn't like his stance against being vaccinated and anti-Biden and all this stuff. It's political and it's become more political. Now, whether or not you can monitor this, whether or not you can arbitrate it, whether or not you can slam your hand down and say, all right, this is great and this is not, and this opinion is good and this is not. I mean, what is baseball? Baseball is a club full of old men and, you know, and who are still counting cards on pieces of paper. And that's how they're locking games. I know that is America's pastime, but let's be honest, after this weekend, it's foolproof that the NFL is king and the NFL will never be taken over by any other sport in this league, potentially maybe basketball. But I mean, but the euphoria of this weekend, you miss those days when the Major League Baseball and the Major League Baseball players and October baseball had that kind of allure and feel. And I just don't know if it's ever going to come back.
No, and they can't get out of their own way. Because right now, baseball, if you think about it logically, they are actually in a really good spot because they have like...
You're in a great spot. Like, release the game.
Right. You have like Mike Trout in his prime. You got all these young guys. You got a guy like Mookie Betts. You got Juan Soto, Bryce Harper. You got all these guys that are studs and they're young and they're going to be around for a while.
Down in Atlanta.
Right. And they can't get out of their own way to market anything. I didn't mention Aaron Judge. Sorry, Yankee fans. I'll mention him too. I know you guys I'll get tweets about it, whatever. But like, I mean, you're in a great spot and now you have a lockout because it's laughable what the owners came back with. Like, they're like the players.
Yeah. Can you update me on this? Because it's upsetting me. I kind of follow along and I read, but I read lightly.
Yeah. The players wanted to raise the minimum. This is ridiculous that this is minimum wage for sport. Anyway, they wanted to raise the minimum wage from like $575,000 to $775,000. And the owners came back with like $605,000, whatever. The owners won't budge on the arbitration. The players want after the fifth year free agency, because right now it's six. The owners aren't budging on that. And then it was like they wanted $100 million. I just want to double check.
Yeah, go double check.
So I get this correct, because this was the most egregious. This was the most egregious part of this whole thing. Because Jeff Passan tweeted this out on how, and this shows just how far apart they are on this. Okay, parameters of a pre-arbitration bonus for players with top 30 WAR. The MLB wanted $105 million and the league offered 10.
What?
10.
That's, oh my God.
You're $90 million apart here. Like, what?
There's a players association, correct? I mean, like,
yeah.
I feel like the NFL Players Association and the NFL are in constant communication. And I feel like that is an open dialogue that is very unique to the sport. And I think that that solves a lot of problems. I mean, is there a players association for baseball?
There is, but I don't know what the hell they're doing.
Well, like,
I don't,
who, like, yeah, where
Tony Clark is the president.
What?
Tony Clark's the president.
Why don't you get one of the former players in there? Why don't we get Derek Jeter? I mean, I know Derek Jeter has a managerial position here with the Marlins, but there needs to be a more of a voice for the players, at least for someone who has some experience, a former player to come in and step in. And I mean, there's the impasse between the owners and the players is ridiculous. And for the amount of money that these players are getting with no salary cap,
and it's all guaranteed.
It's ridiculous.
People don't realize that about the MLB. Like, all once you sign on that dotted line, all that money's guaranteed.
Yeah, yeah. Well, moving on here. Sean Payton hanging up the coaching cleats.
For now.
Exactly.
For now.
The Saints are an absolute cap hell. They got a lot of veteran players down there that they know. It's one of the guys like Mike Thomas from the Saints. He's got to figure out what the hell to do with him. He should take a page from OBJ and say, hey, listen, all this untapped potential, I could have the potential to go and make a serious impact to any team at any point in the season. It's been 2 years since we've seen him on the field. However, Sean Payton, oh, TV is going to be a nice cushy job, and that's great. He's going back to the Dallas Cowboys. I mean, let's be honest. Okay. He's going to go 1 year in television. He's going to take his break. He's going to wash his hands clean of a mess of an organization down there. I think just the way that they have everything set up, just with their, you know, it's just all the strings that are attached with the New Orleans Saints. Oh, the greatness. And then he's going to go back, and his connection with Jerry Jones, I think it's pretty evident. What do you think, Steve?
This feels a little soft to me, by the way.
Also a 90-minute goodbye press conference.
Yeah.
Pat Riley, like.
Yeah. And like, you know what this feels like? This feels like, wow, I coached my entire tenure in New Orleans with a Hall of Fame quarterback and had a lot of success. And then he retired. And like, I just don't want to do this without him anymore. I don't want to deal with Taysom Hill and Jameis Winston and Trevor Siemian. So I'm out. I'm not gonna deal with it at all. I'm just gonna leave. And then maybe when I get another quarterback somewhere down the line in Dallas with Dak or whatever, then I'll go back to coaching. But I'm not gonna coach without a quarterback that's Hall of Fame caliber. Like, what is that? It's soft to me. I don't know. Maybe he's burnt out. He's been there a while. I know, won a Super Bowl. Everything's great. He's probably going to Dallas, but like, come on. Like, let's look at what it is here. It's like, I don't have the Hall of Fame quarterback anymore, so I'm out.
Yeah, you couldn't figure it out. And he put up a 500 win team with the Saints this year, and he couldn't arrange. I don't know, who the hell was it, his call or the owner's call to give Taysom Hill like $90 million in fake money?
That was insane.
You want
to
talk about inflation?
That was absolutely insane. Yeah, so I don't know. I don't even know what to make of it. I mean, I don't understand how he just gets a TV job immediately. Like, all these guys they stop coaching. Like, there are people that have been trying to get on TV for years that can't get on TV. This guy just stops coaching and he's on TV.
Well, it brings up an interesting point. Like, where is Sean Payton going to be talking in a commentary job next year? You have Al Michaels entertaining the idea to go to Amazon. I mean, you know, then you have Sean Payton, and we all know that they paid Peyton Manning. That is the most unbelievable thing. Like, ESPN paid Peyton Manning $18 million and his brother to be on a podcast, to talk about Monday Night Football, like more or less. You want to like the most lucrative, ridiculous podcast of all time.
Make jokes, do all the things you want to do.
Yeah, eat pizza, talk about how big your head is, and clap back at some of your former old teammates. When is Tom Brady gonna go on the Manning cast?
I guess he's got a. I guess he's got a. I guess once he retires, which it sounds like he might,
I mean, you don't think that he's going to make some sort of appearance during the Super Bowl or something with Peyton?
Oh, maybe. They're actually friends.
They're friends. And Bill Belichick and Peyton Manning are very good friends as well.
Yeah, I feel
Linda tells me that they go down to Miami once a year. And then with that once a year, they go and see Peyton. They have a dinner and then they're like, all right, see you later.
I'd love to be a fly on the wall for that though. That's probably interesting combos.
Oh, the conversations with Bill are great.
Yeah.
I don't want to pay. So I'm stopping this conversation right now before I get like a whole load of people like trolling me. Like, oh, she thinks of this, talking with Bill.
The trolls just live in the comments.
Exactly. But it brings up a point. If Sean Payton's going to get back into a head coaching position, how valuable is it to have a former head coach on a coaching staff versus a first time guy? I mean, you could take the example of things like Urban Meyer's just in a fucking world of his own, but a guy like Matt Rhule, you want someone, you fire Joe Brady and you come out with a bang and you say, I want a real impactful offensive coordinator. And you hire Ben McAdoo. Ben, is his hair going to be different this time around? I'm not sure.
I don't know. I mean,
how is that different? And what the fuck are you doing at quarterback? Are they getting rid of Cam Newton? I'm pretty sure Cam's career is done. I see him at 3 a.m. doing some like infomercial stuff about like, I think he's just trying to milk his career for everything that it is. Doing some interview about something that happened to him in college. I'm like, why am I watching this? Like, Cam, you don't need any more airtime. It's over.
No, it's over for him. I agree. I think he's toast. Like, he's done. Sam Darnold. The beginning of the year, everyone was like, oh, it was the Jets. Everyone was like, it was definitely the Jets. And then at the end of the year, they're like, oh no, he's just bad.
Like, he's just absolutely fucking terrible.
He's not good. How valuable is it to have? I think it is valuable to have guys who coached on your coaching staff, like guys who were head coaches, if you were a first time coach, because you could consult with them on things like, right. Like the head coach isn't supposed to be, The head coach isn't supposed to be a dictator, right? He's supposed to consult and get opinions. Really, a good head coach, I feel like, surrounds himself with people that are better than him at like calling plays and doing this. And then the head coach manages the whole team. I think it's very valuable. Exactly. Yeah. Like, your job as a head coach is to like be in the players' heads on like, we can do this, we can win. And, I think it's less about scheme than it is. I think if you bring in really good coordinators, then I think it's less about your scheme and more about how you deal with the locker room and get people to buy into what you're selling, basically. I think it's important.
Oh, man, this Bengals team. And you look at the confidence in Joe Burrow and the confidence in Evan McPherson, that's the rookie kicker.
Yep.
He literally just like took a backup swing right before he went out to kick the game. And he goes, oh, I guess we're going to the AFC Championship game. Confidence is everything. It precedes talent. I think that is the driving force of talent. I mean, not only with this Bengals team, and we can kind of switch gears to this upcoming matchup with Patrick Mahomes, and we can talk about that game. I mean, I don't know what else there is to talk about that game. Overtime rules, and we can get to all of that. But let's talk about this Bengals team, and possibly this is the greatest turnaround in an NFL history of what Joe Burrow has done to that franchise. And albeit, remember, I mean, he completely tore apart his ACL and MCL last year, and he comes back. Comeback player of the year should be given to him for sure. But everything that he has done with the confidence in this game, and not only that, but putting together a likable guy and a familiar teammate in Ja'Marr Chase. This Bengals team is for real. And what they've done to the franchise to turn it around is remarkable.
Yeah, I agree with that. And I think it's all Burrow, right? Like, I mean, I know Ja'Marr Chase was great, but like Ja'Marr Chase is great and he's a great addition to the team, but like Burrow is this team, like he walked in day one and like he expects to win, right? He won at LSU. He comes in, he expects to win, and he plays his best in big games. Now he cannot, they can't let him get sacked nine times against Kansas City.
You already know that they have absolutely no offensive line, but they also won that game.
They did, but they can't. Someone made a good point. I guess Zach Taylor kind of like was trying to call plays, was calling the plays on Sunday.
Yeah.
As opposed to letting his coordinator call the plays. And he's like, you got to be a head coach and be like, hey, we can't be calling the, you have to let your coordinator call the plays, and you can't be like, hey, our quarterback's getting killed. Why are we running all these plays down the field that are long developing? Like, we got to change that. Cause if Joe Burrow gets sacked nine times on Sunday, there's no way they're beating the Chiefs. But it's a great turnaround, and they play, like they play for, like they play for Zach Taylor, obviously, but they also like this offense, these guys all believe in Joe Burrow.
Yep.
And that's, I think that's one of the most important things, is that they believe in him. And in a big game situation, I'm not going to count the Bengals out. I don't think they're going to win the game, but I didn't think they were going to beat the Titans. I thought the Titans were going to actually wipe the floor with them. Don't count out Joe Burrow. If we saw anything from this past weekend, it's if you have the quarterback, you have a chance, and they have a chance.
Well, going back to that Titans game, which I was surprised. I'm so happy when you posted your picks on Saturday. I was like, well, shit, I should have taken the other side of it. forever.
Would have been a good play by you.
Would have been a great play, by the way, taking this time to say the Bad Signal Podcast is brought to you by Better Edge. Your dog loves Better Edge. Your dog is does. Like, listen.
My
listen.
Dog's all in on Better Edge.
Fade my dad. My dad has been abysmal in the NFL playoffs.
I have. I thank God for college basketball. I will say that.
I'm actually really loving. I think I might do a competition on Better Edge on Saturdays on the 85 games that are played in college basketball. Do a little pick 'em.
I only do top 25 games.
Okay.
So I have a system that's been good. I'm 7-4-1 isn't like awesome, but it's pretty good. Like,
Terps got a win last night. But Terps over Rutgers.
They did.
They're on a rebound with an interim head coach.
They need to be good. And they need to be good.
They need to be good, period. Please.
They need to be good. They need to be good. They need to be good. But yeah, I mean, so top 25 teams at home that are favored and the spread is like 27.5 or less, it hits at like a 60% number. Just saying. Okay.
All right.
Just saying.
All right.
Illinois blew it last night, though. But I will say they were up 14 at the half. Like, come on, man.
Oh, yeah. I mean, apparently the Syracuse, this is one of the worst Syracuse teams that people have seen in their entire life. Guess what? I don't care. Cause I just like Jim Boeheim, Syracuse, time for a new regime, time for the new guard to come in. Well, anyways, if you go to betteredge.com, sign up, you use Steve's code. What's your code?
Armado.
Armado, Steve.
That's it.
It's Armado. If you get Courtney, take the Courtney. I believe you get $20. So it's
I only get $5. I'm not there.
$5 to my $20.
I'm not big. I gotta talk. We gotta talk. I gotta talk to Greg about this. Greg.
Oh my god. Greg,
let's have a combo to the side, man. We gotta talk.
Well, the Better Edge team, they're so great. They're actually on, all the techies out there, they're on Product Hunt right now. They're one of the top finds on Product Hunt, which is when you're a startup, that's a big deal. So shout out to our guys at Better Edge. They sponsor the Bad Signal Podcast, and they are great. Back to that Titans and Bengals game. As I, as I greatly diverged, and now I am pulling back onto the road. Ryan Tannehill beat himself in that game. Ryan Tannehill is not even a top 15 quarterback in the NFL. He gets carried by Derrick Henry. To be honest, a plate and 5 screws in that foot. Steve, I don't think that Derrick Henry is ever going to be the same. I saw him. He could not get any push off of that foot, off the line of scrimmage. First of all, why the fuck are you going on 3rd-and-1 with Derrick Henry? Season on the line, Derrick Henry, 7 lines off the line of scrimmage just to get him going. You know, clearly he should not have been coming back for that game. He was not 100%. I know that it was Valiant. It was, he could have tried, but I'm almost worried about him coming back to speed. And because without Derrick Henry, Ryan Tannehill is not the answer. First pick, the first pass of the game. Jesse Bates was having that Bengals secondary is having the game of their life. Eli Apple, you want to talk about a resurgence? My God. It's him and it's Jesse Bates showing Tannehill different looks that he hadn't seen, confusing him, getting him off of his game. And I think Ryan Tannehill beat himself in that game.
Well, yeah. I mean, it's all like we just said earlier, it's all about the quarterback, right?
Yeah.
I don't think we could. I don't know if you might argue this, but like as a team all around, I feel like the Titans are a better all around team, but Joe Burrow is way better than Ryan Tannehill.
Yes.
And
eons better.
Yeah. And so like, that's really the point. Like Burrow, they made the plays when they had to make the plays. Tannehill. And also you're right. Henry did not look 100%.
I'm worried about him. That's my guy, man.
Look, if he could break that, this is the thing about running backs in the NFL. If Derrick Henry can break, and all these running backs can break, like yeah. it's such a short shelf life. And he was getting the ball a ton at the beginning of the year. I don't know. I'd be worried about the Titans' future going forward. Foreman was a nice little story. I don't think he's really the answer back there. But they need a quarterback. If you have the quarterback, you have everything. If you have Ryan Tannehill, you have nothing.
Yeah. That's the bottom line. And I can't believe that I was duped into thinking that they were going to be. Winning that game. It's almost like one of those. But here's the thing. The reason that I didn't bet on the Bengals. And by the way, yeah, the Bengals are 7-point dogs against the Chiefs. This might be a game that I might hammer that.
It's enticing. Very enticing at the moment.
Hammer that point spread. Yeah. For everyone that didn't bet the Bengals at all, Fallon, I can't believe. How did you not get the Bengals? We all know what happened with the Green Bay Packers. We can get to that. And Aaron Rodgers' future next. But unproven kid. I mean, this is a second year kid coming off of a knee injury, and you don't know if the Bengals are just a team of destiny in the moment or if they're the real deal. Clearly you needed that game to measure the fact that Joe Burrow is the real deal. And that's why I didn't bet them. I was like, okay, well, you know, I'll take an experienced head coach versus, you know, the rapid turnaround of a once a dud franchise.
I'm with you there. I mean, I wasn't convinced. No,
now I'm
but
convinced.
But now I'm probably taking the +7, so you might want to go the other way.
All right. So I'm hammering the other side.
Yeah, and so
I might buy a couple. You know what? So my strategy's kind of changed. I've kind of been like a last second picker, but now because I see where these point spreads are moving, I mean that Packers line. I should have taken the 49ers. The 5.5 was just so strange from day one.
The 5.5 was huge. But it's like the 49ers didn't really even do anything.
They didn't do anything.
It's just the Packers.
Jimmy G is always, I will tell you this, and it's just like, you know, once we get to the preview, I mean, we're just jumping around. It's fucking 10 in the morning on a Wednesday. But if you have ADD, you like this spot. Jimmy G is always going to make that one critical, huge mistake. And I think it's still coming. It's still coming.
This is why I don't want to hear anything about Jimmy G. Because the game was on the line on 3rd and 7, and they ran a toss to Deebo Samuel, who made the play. They didn't throw it with Jimmy. They ran a toss to their best player.
Yeah.
Okay. So like, if you really believed in Jimmy, you're calling a pass play there. You're not running the ball with your wide receiver. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Like until he's going to make the mistake. We'll get to the preview. I don't even know where to go with that.
You want to talk about Green Bay special teams. First of all, they didn't have David Bakhtiari before the game.
Nope.
Okay. So you could see that Aaron Rodgers was kind of crumbling. First of all, I love the brazen aspect of Aaron Rodgers after the game already leaking that he wants to take Davante Adams with him to Denver. I think that's fucking fantastically catastrophic just trade him away already. And I don't want, like, in this offseason with the Packers, don't give me this long ass dragged out shit. Don't offer him, you know, to come back. just fucking get rid of him. Just like cut your hands clean of it, make it quick and fast, a quick and easy death, and let's move on.
So because do you,
I am not dealing with this shit in the middle of the summer, where, you know, in the middle of July, I remember I was hearing the rumors he was going to retire and this and like, no, just, I want this to be like the first thing that happens in free agency. I'm calling it now. I'm just requesting it. I'm putting it out to the universe.
You're putting it in the universe. I have a question for you about the Packers. What? So for the last, what, like 30 years where they had like Favre and then went right into Rodgers.
Yeah.
They've won two Super Bowls. Is that like an underachievement?
I would say so.
Right?
I would say so. I would say just given the absolute stronghold and dominance that they've had in the NFC North for the last 10 years, it's not even a question.
And they've lost.
When was the last time that the Bears, they've lost in four straight.
At home.
Playoff games at home against the 49ers. Oh, well, apparently they're trying to invest in a dome in this, you know, and when is that going to happen at Lambeau? Like, I think they're talking about that now. They're putting like a roof on Lambeau so they don't have to play. But like, fucking forget it. You know,
You should have done that 10 years ago.
You know,
you
done that 10 years ago. Enough.
Gutenkunz, whatever his name is. I don't know. I can't even pronounce it. It's a German mustard. Yeah, it's a German mustard.
Gutenkunz.
Yeah, like it's come on. This, and what are you gonna do? They are in for when they get rid of Rodgers. They are pretty much in for like misery.
Good, because they hired the assistant director of player personnel from the Chiefs. Another Ryan, not Ryan Pace. Ryan Poles, correct?
That is correct.
Ryan Poles. I thought it was Panoli.
So did I.
Another Ryan, a different Ryan, changing of the guard up there in Chicago. I think that they have been just kind of on the precipice of big things, or whether or not they got, I mean, damn. Justin Fields, all they need to do is bring in a guy like Josh McDaniels, which is not going to happen because the Patriots fell on their face. But, you know, a quarterback whisperer to, transform, like change the guard in the NFC North. I'm sick of the Packers. I'm sick of it. Sure. Wait, and how much do you not love the fact that Aaron Rodgers would be saying that he wants to go to Denver? Denver apparently was this absolute powerhouse team that everyone in the preseason was ranking as. This is one of the best teams in the NFL, period. All they need is a new quarterback. It's Drew Lock. They traded Von Miller in the middle of the season. Show me the numbers that their defense was top 10 in the NFL.
They were just like so Jekyll and Hyde.
Mediocre.
Yeah, they were Jekyll and Hyde. They were like they'd show up against the really, really bad teams and then like the Chiefs.
Yeah.
And then they would stink against everybody else.
They were one of the teams that it was like them, and then it was like, do I bet the Panthers? Do I not? Am I gonna gamble on betting the Saints or the Falcons? It was one of those like crapshoots, like anytime they play the Broncos, it's like, what team's showing up this week?
Yeah, exactly. And they could never be trusted. I mean, Rodgers would probably give the, like, what'd they finish? They finished 8-9. I don't even know what the record is.
I'm not
are.
Entirely sure, but
they finished 8-9. I believe I'm looking at it right now. So they, yeah. Oh, 7-10. So 7-10. So you think Aaron Rodgers makes them three games better to flip that?
I don't think so. But you're also competing in the AFC West.
You got to play Herbert,
the Chiefs. Mahomes, you're fucked. Yeah. Why would that make?
Why would you go? Sense? Why would you go to that? See, that's dumb. Why would you? If this is how I'm looking at this, if you're Aaron Rodgers, right, and you really wanted to win a Super Bowl, your best chance is actually staying in the NFC. Yeah. All the top six quarterback, like who's in the AFC? Mahomes, Josh Allen, Herbert, Justin Herbert,
Mac Jones,
Burrow,
Lamar Jackson,
Ryan Tannehill,
Josh Allen.
I'm just kidding. I'm Ryan Tannehill. But like really, like, so your best option to win, who's the NFC have? The NFC has Kyler Murray. And if Tom Brady stays
and he's beatable.
Right. And Matthew Stafford, like your best chance is in the NFC. So to me, it's like stay with the Packers or try to get yourself on the Eagles. I don't know. I don't know. That's hot.
That's a hot take. But then also, where's Russell Wilson going? I still think he's going to make a big bold move.
He better not go to the Giants. I'll lose my mind. They're not
the Jets.
I hope he does go to the Jets. That would be great.
Oh my God! And then what if they did that?
That would be perfect.
If he went to the Jets and then he had like a couple of years and let Zach Wilson kind of learn under him.
Oh no! I want him to go to
what about
the Jets.
The Raiders? What about the Raiders?
Again, you're going to the AFC though. Like, he's gonna go where Ciara wants to live. So he's not going to Denver. I'll tell you that.
She could totally have a, you know, I heard Adele's residency in Vegas is not working out for her.
He's going to try and force his way to wherever Ciara wants to live. And I'll tell you, it ain't going to be Denver. This is just not going to happen. Like somebody said, Russell Wilson in a Broncos uniform. That's another dumb. I don't know. You want to go if you're one of these older quarterbacks that's like you're at the end of the road. Why the hell are you going to the AFC West?
I was just gonna say it's Mahomes. Mahomes.
Like, just take out everything else. Mahomes, you have to play Mahomes twice a year.
Yeah. Well, I here's an interesting thing. You can start to bet on the next head coach on DraftKings.
I'm trying to pull up this.
What?
That's heinous that you could do that.
Jim Caldwell is the favorite to be the Chicago Bears permanent next head coach.
See, that would be a good move.
Jim Caldwell or Brian Flores is $1.50 behind him. Brian Daboll, who's definitely going to go to the Giants. Matt Eberflus. The offensive coordinator for the Indianapolis Colts.
Okay.
He's been a name that's been in the coaching conversation for the last couple of years. Yeah, and Dan Quinn. I don't think Dan Quinn should get. I mean, keep your defensive coordinator job. When he was the head coach of the Falcons, he was absolutely abysmal. So
he went to the Super Bowl. He blew it bad.
But. When is Eric Bieniemy going to be the forefront? So, why look, is Eric Bieniemy?
This is why plus 1400. Here's my theory.
Is he going to take over for Andy Reid?
Here's my theory on this. So the Chiefs keep winning and every year they are in at least the conference championship game, right? So they can't announce a head coach.
No, but you are allowed. They changed the rules last year that you're allowed to interview.
You're allowed to interview, but they can't announce it. So,
but it doesn't matter. But you can have interviews and you can do it digitally. Like changed the rules because all of the black coaches, the Byron Leftwiches and the Eric Bieniemies were stuck out of the coaching carousel because of their teams were going to the Super Bowl. They were so good that they were, you know, going late in the postseason. So they changed these rules specifically to allow these guys to have the opportunity to interview.
Why is
Eric Bieniemy? He deserves it.
He deserves a head coaching job. But the fact that the Chiefs keep winning hurts him because he could interview, right? But he can't actually be announced as the head coach until whenever his season ends. And then that means he can't start building the rest of his staff until the season. Like, because as you go longer in the offseason, the pool of assistants shrinks. So that's why a lot of these teams want to hire their head coach immediately because they want to make sure they get the best pool of candidates to fill out the rest of the staff. That's what I think hurts him. I think they need to have a year where like they just have all things, they suck and they don't make the playoffs and he's like first on the list. Like that's what I think he's
it's just absolutely not going to happen.
Yeah.
Moving on to Championship Sunday. What would a win for Patrick Mahomes if he beats this? The only guy who's ever beaten him in the playoffs has been Tom Brady.
Yeah.
If he beats Joe Burrow, then who is the next Patrick Mahomes? You know, I mean, if someone it's the same conversation and this is so funny that we don't listen to ourselves, I guess. I mean, this is not me saying this, but you know, a couple of years ago when Tom Brady beat, what was the last year? Patrick Mahomes, it said Patrick Mahomes' career is over and this and that. And we saw in September how much he struggled and they utilized September and October like an extended preseason. And all of a sudden the Chiefs just came back with a vengeance and now they're unstoppable. The only list of quarterbacks to start three consecutive Super Bowls, it's Tom Brady, it's Jim Kelly, and it's Bob Greasy. So are we talking about a mini dynasty here? What will it mean? for Patrick Mahomes to win this game.
I don't know if the game matters. Well, if he wins the game, I think it, what's going to matter is he's got to win the Super Bowl. To be, I feel like to
be always thinking one game ahead.
That's well, just to like be a mini dynasty, like he's got to get another one, right?
Yeah. But I mean, he could still make those appearances, you know, like you could call it both ways. I think
he
Tom Brady made 10 Super Bowl appearances. He's won 7 rings. I mean, you did lose 3 of them. So if you're constantly going back to the, you know, back to the big dance, I mean, that's dynasty stuff.
I mean, but Mahomes is only he's only won one, right?
Is it a couple of years ago that he said like, oh, I just started watching film?
Yeah, that's insane. Look, he's ridiculous, right? Like he's
an he's also buoyed by a lot of the high value talent behind them. Like, you know, you're the Buffalo Bills and you're sitting there and you're like, oh yeah, you know, they can't go 55 yards and kick a field goal and all that shit. Like, I'm sorry. Patrick Mahomes just threw a ball to Tyreek Hill, ran 64 yards for a touchdown on your last play. He has, the fastest guy in the NFL. He has one of the second fastest guys in the NFL. A lot of the times I'm looking at Mecole Hardman, I'm like, oh shit, you know.
He flies.
They got rid of Sammy Watkins. They're still thriving. Travis Kelce is, you know, coming into his own as the two of them. It's the best quarterback and tight end duo outside of Rob Gronkowski, who still has some longevity. I mean, but the two of them, it's like you have to put both of them on a pedestal.
I agree.
Then you got Clyde Edwards-Helaire. You got the best. We're going to be looking back on this Andy Reid, Eric Bieniemy combination. It's like, you know, that 2013 Washington football team, with Kyle Shanahan and Matt LaFleur and Sean McVay on one team. It's one of those.
Can we just talk about this real quick? Well, first of all, I think Clyde Edwards-Helaire is the worst of the running backs that are there, but
he's had a down season.
I think Williams and McKinnon are both better than him, but that's neither here nor there.
Okay.
Can we talk about just going back to that game? Why wouldn't you squib kick to give the Chiefs one play instead of two?
I know. Yeah.
What are you doing?
We have the NFL Films tape. Was there a discussion? I mean, I think that they're thinking in their heads like, okay, 13 seconds, just kick it out of the back of the end zone.
I'd rather give Patrick Mahomes one play than two.
Mm-hmm.
I
completely agree with you. I completely agree. Yeah. Like, and in terms of overtime rules and all this shit, I'm glad that we agree with this. 8 years ago, those rules changed. And they went to an adaptation of the college football rules, where it used to be the person who won the coin toss could go down the field and kick a field goal and the game is over. I mean, that's how the Patriots beat the Raiders in the snowball game. There's a lot of games that were decided on just one field goal. So, the fact that Josh Allen would not, first of all, his defense needs to get a stop. Second of all, yeah, a coin toss is a coin toss, but what are we going to do? Play a full, 15 minutes of overtime football until everyone collapses.
Like, and then can't play the next week.
Exactly. Like, you're talking about these teams and these defenses being gassed and not being able to, you know, to catch up at the end of the game. Why are you going to do that to a defense?
No, it's insane to me to even like think about.
I think the overtime rules are fine.
They're fine.
Point toss. Each of you, if they get a stop and then you'll go down. And then once you switch possessions, then that's it.
The only opportunity
to win the game.
The only way, like, they already had, my thing is, everybody is like, oh, they didn't get a chance to touch the ball in overtime. You didn't stop them with 13 seconds left, and like they started at their own 25. So you didn't lose the game because you didn't touch the ball in overtime.
Yeah.
Also, the only way, which would, I think it would delegitimize overtime. The only way I think they could have a scenario where both teams have to touch the ball is like if you just get rid of kickers. Like, you have to go for it on fourth down and you can't kick a field goal and you have to go for two.
That's decent. I mean, that's reasonable. I just don't think that they're going to be changing these rules anytime soon.
Every time something like this happens, everybody makes it like this is the first time they're hearing about the overtime.
I mean, first of all, the Chiefs 2 years ago when the Patriots beat them, they're like, we need to change the overtime rules. They seem to be fine with them now. So
right. So enough. I'm sick of the debate. The debate is debate is everybody's like, oh, it's not fair. You know what? You know what? Life's not fair. A, B, just hold them to a field goal. You don't even have to shut them out. Just hold them to a field goal. That's it. Enough. Well, I'm done.
Yeah. Well, I mean, and also to finish this conversation and to wrap up this podcast, and I know this is just kind of like a big epic rant and a rethoughts, and then we'll get to something that is more organized and to preview Championship Sunday because it's going to be so exciting. But is this not a point that building an elite offense in the NFL and building a team around your quarterback, that defenses really don't matter? I mean, because look at the Buffalo Kansas City game. Almost four sacks, no turnovers, no penalties. It was just all offense.
And Buffalo had the best defense in the league.
The Buffalo Bills wasted a Super Bowl team. We're already saying this. Brian Daboll is leaving. Josh Allen was playing absolutely out of his mind. There's a window. And when you don't hit that window, that's probably the most disappointing thing. I think that Allen is going to be in the MVP conversation for a long time. He's incredible. But at the same time, like when you don't capitalize on something, on a team this good, that's what hurts the most.
Yeah, they blew it. They blew it. And you're right. Daboll's going to be gone. And that's it. It's a shame. Defense is like, the thing is too, like I don't know. Defenses probably don't matter because didn't the Bills have like the best pass defense in the NFL?
Yeah, exactly. They kept saying that. Oh, you know, and the Chiefs are going against the number one, like not in overtime.
Yeah, it didn't matter. Yeah,
not after 85 minutes of football.
No, like, didn't matter at all. Didn't matter. It was. Listen, Mahomes was out there. If like you, me, and like Greg from Better Edge were running routes, we probably would have scored. So that's it.
I just like snotted on my nose. I just laughed so hard, snot came out of my nose. What was the worst loss? This one or like the Seattle Seahawks at the goal line?
Nah, this was worse.
This was worse than the Seahawks abysmal play call in the Super Bowl.
Well, the Seahawks at the goal line.
That was the worst play call of all time.
That was stupidity, but that was stupid. I don't know. I mean, I guess because that's the Super Bowl, you got to give it to the Seahawks there. But like, this was a bad law. This was horrible in every way. Like, I don't know how you recover from that if you're a Bills fan.
Yeah, I got to finish up the podcast because you know we're looking ahead here. It's the 26th. We got Championship Sunday this weekend. Busy week for both of us. Steve, can you talk about some of the projects that Lark Media is getting into? Because I see you just like all over the map with your big flow hair, talking on TikTok about brand building.
Yeah,
making notes.
Well, I'm making a huge push with my content this year.
Yeah.
So I have like I actually moved the camera and the light before we started because they were all behind me in the way. But I'm working with CBS Sports Galazzo. We're doing some videos about Serie A, the Italian soccer league there.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. That's like simple stuff. We sit down the host, we let them talk, and I just kind of direct them and tell them what to do. And then I'm actually going to there's might be two ends of this project, but the first end is I have Arizona and Miami. We're working with an agency to do NFL draft profile videos.
Oh, that's my favorite, man.
Yeah. And then we might get I don't know if this is going to happen. It's in the works right now. Like the day before the Super Bowl, might go to Vegas to shoot a podcast with a sports book out there. I can't mention the two talent names, but they are both former NFL players and their brothers. So you can probably put that together and go set up and shoot a podcast out there with them. So we would be going from Vegas.
Is it the Manning brothers? You can tell.
No. It's not them.
Okay.
It's not them.
Is it Aronde and the Barbers? I knew it. Yeah. Yes. Wow. Yeah. Wow. Check out my Wordle of the day. I just guessed that the Barber twins.
Yeah.
Oh
so,
my God. Wow.
So we would go from Vegas to Arizona to Miami in like a 6-day span.
Wow.
So that'll be cool. If
do I post that on my profile?
I don't know.
Like, yeah, I just wordled the shit out of that. Yeah. That was great. Wow, I got two guesses.
I'm muting Wordle from my timeline.
No, I did. I muted Wordle. It's on my muted on my timeline. But yeah. The Washington football team rebrand 2222. What do you think the name is going to be? I think I heard it's going to be the Commanders, but I think it should be the Presidents.
I think it should be the Presidents. I think I wish they would have done like the Replacements, the movie, and named them the Sentinels, the Washington Sentinels.
Sentinels?
But
Well, it sounds too close to Seminoles, and then we would just like.
No, then we're in another thing. Yeah, I think they should have just kept the football team, to be honest.
I think that they're going to keep the branding of the Washington football team. I think that that's just like one of those like classic, you know, like I'm not even going to talk about Pat the Patriot because I need to burn that sweatshirt that I bought. Yeah. The sweatshirt is gone. The sweatshirt needs to go. But I find it to be very interesting to see if like the apathy of the fan base, if it's going to work to rebrand this, especially just with Dan Snyder and the lack of transparency and that dog shit stadium that they have down there.
I don't think anything is going to work for them until he's gone, which might not be ever. So,
oh, well, good luck to them. We still have another week or so.
That's and right.
I mean, this sounds very exciting. If you need, I think I we'll talk off air. I have another idea for an agency down in Miami to do some pre-draft profiles. I mean, that's the thing. You want to get into like NFL offseason, and I think we're going to move swiftly into baseball.
Yes.
In this podcast and talk heavily about football, but NFL draft prospects. I don't want to nerd people out too much, but
it's fun because you like hear their story. You put together some videos for them, and then the agency uses like they market that to teams and brands.
Yeah, yeah, so. And then you hear it 85,000 times during the ESPN draft.
All the
and then it's just like the worst. It's like the worst thing ever.
You're like,
you just hear about it constantly. Steve, thanks for your time.
Thank you for having me.
You've been listening to the Bad Signal Podcast. We will check you out later. See ya.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.